Never Surrender, the outdoor epic drama about the unconquered Seminole, book by Rick Compton and Jerry Seif, music by Rick Compton. Copyright 1997, all rights reserved. Pursued for nearly 50 years by aggressive invaders intent on erasing their existence in Florida, the Seminole in 1850 were once again moving south. They were the collected remnants of the toughest, most resistant Creek, Miccosukee, and other eastern tribes of Native Americans. In northern Florida, just one or two generations earlier, the Seminole had numbered in the thousands. Almost all of them have been killed or forcibly removed to Oklahoma. Now, as the story opens, there are less than 300, once again seeking a new home, further south, further away from the persistent invaders. These Seminole had never surrendered, and did not intend to do so now. The Seminole were seeking a new home in the swamps of South Florida. An advance party of three is made up of the great chief Holater Miko, known to the invaders as Billy Bowlegs, the aged wise man and healer Abiaka, also called Sam Jones, who keeps the Seminole's sacred bundle, and Waxaharjo, the young man through whose eyes we see this story. They trudge through the swamp. The men are looking for a place habitable enough for their hardy tribe, but inhospitable enough to discourage the invaders. Different from the flat, dry plains of northern Florida, this environment is strange to them to the point of surrealism. The grass is not on earth, but in water. Their familiar mode of transportation, the horse, is ill-equipped for swamps, and an agitating brand of aggressive mosquito plagues them. As they approach, they are surrounded by crashing thunder and blinding lightning. In the midst of the raging storm, Abiaka seeks spiritual guidance. His pleas are answered by a vision of Cacique Kalos, the ethereal embodiment of the Calusa, a culture extinct for more than a century. Cacique empathizes with Abiaka's flight from the invaders. Cacique, in a vision of the battle in which Ponce de Leon is killed, demonstrates his own people's fierce isolationism. Cacique offers his welcome to the Seminole by showing Abiaka a chosen hammock, an island in the river of grass where the Seminole will be as safe as possible. From Cacique's vision, Abiaka also learns that the father of the future of the Seminole is with his party. Abiaka deduces that Cacique is referring to Waxaharjo and assumes, wrongly, that the 10-year-old Yoho Lo, son of Waxa, and his wife Yi Lo Ki, is the tribe's future to which he refers. Fortified with knowledge, Abiaka, Waxa, and Holater return north to convince the rest of the Seminole to return with them to the chosen hammock. A few months later, the three return with their people. The group settles in quickly, but their life is hobbled by the new environment. Some are forgetful of the troubles left behind in the presence of their new set of tribulations. Their frustration threatens their ability to build a new life in their new home. Abiaka again seeks the guidance of Cacique. In a stunning montage of visions, Cacique imparts the knowledge of the Calusa to Abiaka. The knowledge allows the Seminole to better feed themselves with local plants, to better traverse the swamp, and to better make war against the invaders in the hostile and unforgiving terrain of South Florida. At the annual gathering, where the sacred green corn dance is danced, Waxaharjo and the others hear stories of the invaders, and in the ensuing months, they see some. Chief Holater urges caution and prudence, and Waxaharjo is able to quell the more hawkish elements in the tribe. It is a policy short-lived. A party of surveyors, drunken, ill-disciplined, and bored with the grindingly brutal duty of charting the giant swamp, stumbles onto a carefully cultivated hammock. This hammock is almost magical in its bounty. Pumpkin vines laid in tree branches hang heavy with ripening gourds. Corn stalks thickly planted each boast numerous fat ears. Banana bunches almost glow yellow in the lush green garden. The surveyors plunder the garden, taking some for themselves and destroying the rest. It is the personal garden of Holater Miko, his pride and joy, the bounty of which was intended to feed his people. But more importantly, Abiaka's sacred bundle, the figurative soul of the tribe, has been discovered there. The surveyors rip it from its secret hiding place and open it. Its contents are desecrated and strewn about by the drunken invaders. Its holiness is ravished. Holater Miko, Abiaka, and Waxa, upon discovering the travesty, approach the invaders and demand that the destroyed food be replaced. The surveyors laugh and push the men around, and they do the unspeakable. They taunt Abiaka with the remnants of the sacred bundle, flaunting brutish, drunken power over the old man. Led by Waxa, the three retreat physically unharmed but spiritually devastated. The Seminole cannot abide this. As a whole, the tribe decides to attack to recover what food they can and exact a measure of revenge. Waxa, ignoring his wife's protests, agrees to be central in a plan to recover the sacred bundle. In a fierce and spirited ceremony of purification, the Seminole gird themselves for a war they had hoped they had left behind. The battle breaks just after dawn. The unsuspecting surveyors are badly hurt by the hit-and-run technique learned from Cacique Kalos. Waxa is seriously wounded in hand-to-hand combat with the leader of the surveyors. He prevails and, near death, carries the now limp and weakened sacred bundle back to the village. Without the fully empowered sacred bundle, the Seminole fall on hard times. First, the war has begun. For the next few years, the men are frequently away from the village, battling invaders in the manner learned from Cacique. The aged Abiaka is of little help, physically or spiritually. The desecration of the sacred bundle, the soul of his people with which he is charged, has left him camp-bound and withered. And while Waxa is away fighting, his and Yilo Ki's son, Yoho Lo, presumed to be the future of the Seminole, is killed by an alligator. The tribe's destiny is bleak. The bleakness is affirmed. A company of soldiers under the command of a brutal and ambitious Captain Parkhill is carrying out its mission to capture or kill all the Seminole in Southwest Florida. When the warriors are away, Parkhill's men attack and partially destroy the Seminole village. Thanks to a well-executed evacuation plan, none is killed, but as Parkhill is torching the Seminole homes, the warriors return to chase him and his men away. Distressed by the destruction and confronting yet another dry season without sufficient provisions, Holater agrees to meet with the invaders. Bribed by booty, cash, and a promise of a better life in Oklahoma, Holater agrees to relocate and to persuade as many of the Seminole as possible to come too. His plan is accepted by some, but in a moment of truth, Holater's lifelong friend Abiaka musters his last shreds of dignity and strength to publicly berate the chief for committing the unpardonable, surrender. Abiaka is joined by Waxa Harjo and his wife, now pregnant with a son foretold by Cacique as the future of the Seminole. In a moment permeated with bitterness, regret, and the loss of departing loved ones, the formerly unified tribe splits. Most follow their chief Holater. 50 remain, loyal to themselves and their collective. They will never surrender. Because the sacred bundle is not yet fully re-empowered, the trials of those remaining are not yet over. As Waxa's wife begins the pains of childbirth, the tribe is beset by a force never before encountered by the Seminole, a hurricane. Abiaka knows the reason for the troubles foisted upon his people is that the sacred bundle is powerless. Once again, he seeks guidance from Cacique Kalos, asking how the Calusa re-empowered themselves in such situations. Cacique answers that the Calusa offered one of themselves as a sacrifice to the gods. Abiaka understands. He offers himself and dies. Upon Abiaka's death, the storm ceases its threat to the village, and Yi Lo Ki delivers a son. That this son is the future of the Seminole is clear, because the sacred bundle, fully restored to its former size and potency, appears next to him. The final scene opens to Waxaharjo, still answering the life questions of his now 12-year-old son. Waxa reveals that the sacred bundle, the soul and power of the Seminole people, is to become his, the son's, responsibility. The son is awed by the charge, and led by the uncle that will supervise his training, he moves to the same location where Abiaka before him had beseeched the ancient spirit and begins to pray. "We," he says in a strong young voice, "are the people who never surrender."